Do take a seat, everyone. So today, on this Easter Sunday, we're going to spend a bit of time thinking about Mary. Mary Magdalene was her name. She was an interesting woman of faith who came from a challenging background. We've already heard that her early days were difficult. She was a person that Jesus had rescued from darkness and from oppression. She'd struggled with evil spirits, and Jesus had come and rescued her from a life that was oppressive and dark. And then the Gospels tell us that she then travelled with Jesus. She became one of his followers. She was a good friend of his. And along with other women, she supported Jesus out of her own resources. Jesus was her rabbi. Jesus was her Lord. And she followed him and she learnt from him. And as she did, she grew and she changed. And the stories, the narratives, the gospel stories also tell us that she followed Jesus right through to the end. Some of her friends ran away and abandoned Jesus. But she stayed there with some of the other women and with Jesus' mother. And she was present when Jesus was crucified. She saw him die. And then she then made the decision, again with some other women, to go to the tomb that following day. And Mark tells us that she stood outside the tomb and she found that it was empty. The stone had been rolled away. It wasn't what she was expecting. She'd gone to find a body, and the body wasn't there. And each of the gospel accounts, all four gospel accounts, tell us how Mary went to look for Jesus and found that the tomb was empty. The accounts, when you read them, they're interesting. If you're not familiar with them, it's worth going back, if you've got a Bible at home, and reading them through, because they're all fascinating accounts of this amazing point in history that changed everything. And they're all slightly different, which is what you'd expect, because they're eyewitness accounts, but they also have some key themes that run through every one. And the first one is that the tomb was empty. That's totally clear. There was nobody there. All four Gospels tell us that. They also tell us that it was women who found the tomb was empty, first of all. They were the first witnesses to the fact that Jesus' body was not there. And that might not seem particularly significant for us today in our culture. But in that time, if you were going to make something up and make a story up, you wouldn't put women there as the first witnesses, because they weren't acceptable in court. They weren't trusted as witnesses. You wouldn't have written that. So it's one of the clear evidences that what people saw and what they then later wrote down was a true experience. All the stories in the Gospels, they tell us that this moment was quite a strange moment, because it was extraordinary. It wasn't what people were expecting to find. And there's lots of different emotions that the writers write about. They talk about how there was fear there. There was a bit of fear, you can imagine. Can you imagine going to look for your best friend, to go and do the right thing, to bury them, and then all of a sudden the body's not there? What do you do? What's happened? There's bewilderment. And as we go through the story, there's confusion. And there's also then moments of realisation and joy start to creep in. They're fantastic stories to read. And then all the stories tell us that there was an encounter with angels. That's not an ordinary everyday thing either, is it? Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they all tell us that as the women arrived, they encountered angels. And then there's John's account, the one that we heard about this morning, that tells us that Mary actually met Jesus. She was the first one to meet the risen Jesus herself. So we're going to actually hear this bit of the story read direct from John, and Lydia's going to come and read that for us. Thanks, Lydia.
So readings from John 20, 11 to 18, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot, at the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go and find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father, your Father, my God, and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message.
So what a life-changing moment for Mary. As she goes to the tomb, at a point where she's probably feeling really sad, overwhelmed, disappointed, expecting to have to look after a dead body with her friends. And then she discovers that the tomb is empty. She knew that Jesus had died. She's seen it for herself. Everything had finished at that point. Death had taken him. But now there was a problem. She was at the tomb and it was empty. The stone had been rolled away and she encountered some angelic beings. This was turning out to be a really strange and unusual day. And this story, it's a wonderful story. As you kind of follow it through, you almost see like this kind of paradigm shift that happens in Mary. And she goes as one person and feeling miserable and low. And then as she begins to realise what's going on, it's almost like you can hear her brain cells beginning to kind of fire up. As a new realisation starts to come before her, as she begins to explore this new reality, which is beyond anything we could ever imagine, anything she could ever imagine, the realisation began to break through. Jesus. Is this Jesus? Is Jesus really alive? You mean death couldn't hold him? You mean death isn't the end? You mean that I can see him again? I can be with him? That he is present? You mean that life and love has triumphed out of this horrendous situation? In this amazing story, love breaks through. Love is alive again for Mary. It's a beautiful moment. It's a huge moment in history. And Jesus responds in a wonderful, personal way. He sees her grief. He addresses her confusion. And then he does something wonderful, doesn't he? He uses her name, her personal name. It's a really deep, intimate moment of friendship as Mary and Jesus meet each other at that point. And it changes everything for Mary. The one who she thought was dead is alive. And in fact, the story tells us that it kind of affects her so much that she then rushes to tell the other disciples. She's got to share this amazing news with them because she's seen the Lord. And later on, they will then come and many of them will then meet Jesus. As the story goes on, and we're going to meet some of them over the next few weeks, they encounter Jesus for themselves. It changed everything for Mary, and it changed everything for Jesus' disciples, his friends. It would change the whole direction of their life. Without the resurrection, that would have never have happened. Many of them would go on and themselves would die for what they believed had happened on that morning. They were certain. There was a certainty that propelled them forward because they had seen it for themselves. So what does the resurrection mean for us today? As we hear this story afresh, many of us will have heard it for many years. I wonder, as we hear this story again on this Easter Sunday, what does the resurrection mean for you? Does it expand your heart? Does it make you feel excited? Maybe it's playing with your head and stretching your brain cells. You know, all those things are really good because this should do. This is extraordinary. This was a miracle. This changed everything for the universe. This morning was just so significant. Because if Jesus is alive in the story, it means he's also alive today. He's not a dead God or a wooden God or a wooden image, but he's a real, live, breathing person who the Bible tells us is now in heaven with his Father. That means we can know him because he's a real person. That means that we can encounter him for ourselves because he is real. And the Bible narratives, the Bible stories, the Gospels tell us that as we read each of the stories, the accounts of what happened. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. And he's alive for us today as well. This story is massive. It fundamentally changed the world's future. It meant that Jesus, through his atoning death, all that he achieved on the cross for us that we've been thinking about over the last few days, had broken the power of death for us as humans. The Bible tells us that God loves us. He's pursued us through history as humans. He wants to draw people back to himself to know him. And he'd been working through history for this very moment to occur. Through Jesus, God had won the battle with death and sin. But through Jesus' resurrection, he'd also won the battle with death. It's a beautiful example that we read again and again. It's the ultimate example of how the beautiful world that God had created, that we humans have messed up and brought death and decay to and darkness, how through this morning it's been restored. It's been healed. It's been redeemed. And that's what this Easter Sunday speaks out to the world about and why Christians make such a big fuss about it and why it's so important to us. Death has been defeated. We can know God as our Father. Our friendship can be formed back again. We can come close to him through all that Jesus has done. And all the consequences of sin which resulted in death have been reversed, and death is no longer the end. I wonder if we really believe that today. Do we live as resurrection believing people? People who believe that Jesus died, that Jesus rose from the dead, and that Jesus is coming back. And how does that really change our lives? Because if you really believe that, it starts to change everything. It changes the way we feel about ourselves, the way that we believe our future will come. It changes the way we feel about difficulties and suffering. It changes the way we think about eternity and what's going to happen to us when we physically die. This is a truth that impacts our actions, our behaviours, our emotions, our mindset. It brings us into a new reality. And this resurrection day is also personal. That's what Mary learned, because Jesus spoke to her by her name. He knew her and he welcomed her back to a relationship with him as someone who was alive. And Jesus does that for us this morning. He speaks our name, each one of us. He knows us by name, and he invites us to know him as a living person who is real. And that means that we can't just hold this to ourselves. I love that right at the beginning of the story of the resurrection, there's mission in there, isn't there? We talk a lot about mission and wanting to share good news with others. And right at this point, as the whole of history is changed in that morning, all of a sudden Mary then goes out and she starts to tell people because she just can't hold it to herself because it's just so life-changing. We're going to finish now, and I'm going to do something that we don't always do here in church, but we're going to read some scripture together. And there's a reason why I've chosen this. This is some words that Paul wrote, who was also a follower of Jesus, who would come later on in the story. And in fact, we're going to meet him later in the series. But he wrote to some Christians in a place called Corinth, which you might know of, that's in Greece now. And he started to rift on this whole idea of resurrection because it was so precious to him. It was such a beautiful thing, and he wanted to share it with the Christians in Corinth. So we're actually going to speak some of his words out this morning, and they're incredibly powerful. I find them really moving. Sometimes people use them at their funerals because they're just such powerful words, because they're full of life, they're full of life eternity, and they speak about how death has been conquered. So let's have the words up. I'm going to read the ones in white, and then I'm going to encourage you to read out nice and loud the words in yellow. So let me start by reading these words that Paul wrote to his friends in Corinth. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. And it will happen in a moment, the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to life forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning,